deliver us a performance bond, you know, within a certain time period, if you are a successful bidder, then, you know, that's probably good enough for the off-roadway facility type work. I mean, it's something that that we have had discussions on, and, you know, it's up for consideration.
What kind of numbers do you think that would increase the pool to if we made that change?
I have no idea, and I couldn't.
Well, there is a pool of existing contractors that are too large, say, to participate on our small set aside projects, because there is a size limit to your annual revenues on the small set aside program, recently updated this year to $14 million. So there are, I don't know exactly how large their group is. There are a group of contractors that are capable of providing or are providing more than $14 million a year, but definitely are not yet in the league of the $20, $30, $40, $50 million contracts. So there is a little bit of a vacuum for us to address the needs of those kinds of contractors, which is exactly what this kind of initiative attempts to address. And it's an issue of they have the experience, they have the capacity, but they maybe because of the work that they do, they never really have a need to previously to pursue that IDOT pre-qualification. And IDOT pre-qualification, frankly, and I don't think that our sister agency will be offended, if I can tell you, it's a very difficult process to pursue and expensive. These issues with the audited financial statements are not cheap. And some of these companies, though, they're big, I mean, but not big enough to just be able to do this every time. So what we're trying to create is a gap to help them until they get to a point where they have all the necessary means to get that IDOT pre-qualifications. This kind of measure doesn't necessarily have to be there for forever. I mean, it may be for a period of time while some of these companies are able to get that IDOT pre-qualification, and then we can move on.
I understand the philosophy. I understand the proposal and how it's. My question is, in putting this forth, what we're doing is taking a look at what options are there out there against the current regulations and the current policy that we think would allow us to expand the pool. With any of those changes, there's a potential, it was originally put in place, these are safeguards that are originally put in place, so we're taking a look at how can we achieve that with some level of change. So, understanding that we're trying to obtain that, my question is, by making the changes that Paul outlined, what can we expect to be the number of additional applicants or firms that would be qualified to then bid for our work? I mean, it's a risk-reward, right?
So maybe a subset of that question, a different way to ask it, is what proportion of our work is this off-roadway construction? Because that's going to determine who qualifies for this, and then some subset of that will be the answer to your question. In absolute dollars or proportion or ballpark or something. We got a billion something coming out this year. What would you say is the amount that's attributable to off-roadway work?
So it seems like every year about half of our jobs fall in this range of $5 million or less.
But not necessarily meaning the other requirement of being kind of off system.
Right. So.
I mean, if you feel more comfortable getting back to us with that, that's fine.
We'll have to. I don't have that number. I definitely don't have the number on what the expected increase would be in bidders. I'm not sure what that would be.
But if we know the amount of money, then we can speculate about
we know from an example that is it on today's agenda where, you know, a company, was it this month?
The industrial. I think that was on today's agenda, right?
So, a company that at least was the low bidder on the job, frankly, and this requirement was in, and they at least they could get the bid bond. They said that they could ultimately get the performance bond, but, you know, because of this requirement, ultimately we couldn't accept their low bid. And it was on a smaller dollar size job. So, it does happen from time to time. I don't know that we have definitive data, though, on kind of who the universe is out there that could do it. It's difficult to prove the don't know if that's really an example of proving the negative, but, you know, who could possibly be out there? Well, it might open a lot of doors, or there might not be that much activity. But we can certainly, what we will do is maybe get back to you with a little better sense of kind of the universe. I don't think we would ever represent that this is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars
no.
of work every year. I frankly don't think we want to bid that much work in $5 million increments, but just, again, more opportunities for people to get the experience of being a prime, maybe put themselves in a position of, you know, being able to more easily attain new pre-qualifications or build their businesses to get to a point of, you know, competing on larger jobs in a different playing field.
Yeah, I wish I could give you certain degree of certainty regarding a number. I do know that the firms are out there. I can tell you that from my previous experience with the city of Chicago, there are plenty of firms doing work for the city on the streets. And then realizing that it's a little slightly different type of work, but many of those firms are currently not doing business with the tollway could potentially buy acquiring the necessary equipment and tools. They do not have necessarily IDAP pre-qualifications because, say, the city doesn't require it, city-funded projects. And so there is a potential pool of contractors that could feel attractive to some of these contracts if we were to, in a very calculated way, measure at risk the risk that we're taking with this, because it's a very, very calculated risk. Sorry.
No, I'm just going to make the same point again. People working on the streets of Chicago, I don't understand if they are part of off-roadway work. So I guess it would be helpful for me to understand when we're talking about off-roadway work, what are we talking about and how much of our program over the last 3 years? Take, you know, pick a number, whatever you want.
I think we've given some examples of, you know, facility work, right. Landscaping, but what we'll do is we'll actually try to get more of a proportion of
that would be great.
A typical year.
Because we know you can't tell us how many people can be out there, but it would give us a sense of some
sure.
percentage of that.
On the bid bonds, has the state or the authority looked into a pool of money to ensure that, or maybe set up some kind of for minority firms?
Mike, I think you can. Yeah. Mike Kelsch, I mean, you might be able to speak a little bit. We did some early discussions, but I don't think we finalized anything. We could certainly renew those, but kind of thinking about this, I don't know what we call it, pool bonding.
Owner-controlled insurance program.
We can certainly look, you know, into that again too, and kind of refresh some of that. Some of those discussions.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily get to this issue because these are firms that can, or at least they're representing, that they can be bonded. It's this issue of, in the IDOT pre-qualification process.
I think from the experience we had, Gustavo and myself, with the companies that I brought in from a city contractor, African-American or small, the biggest issue was the pre-bid bonding and the bond issue. He did eventually prevail and get a off highway project, a demolition project, I think at 127th and Cicero, at the old facility. But very difficult for him.
Yeah.
I'm very reluctant to come out here.
Yeah.
I drove him here, and Gustavo and I sat down with him, and we walked him through the whole process. So it's time consuming and hard. We're very intimidated in trying to come out and get into this market.
So more on the bonding side and not on this pre-qualification.
I would say both.
Issue for mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
You had mentioned in your opening slide some of the things we could do better as far as outreach and things. Have you identified what those things are that we can do better? And what are our other, like, what does IDOT do as far as their outreach? And you mentioned the City College, Junior Colleges. Are there other entities that we should be looking to team with or to partner with?
Well, certainly, speaking of the city, CDOT, we recently had a joint outreach event with the Chicago Department of Transportation, which was quite an interesting experience because they do have, again, you know, we're talking about mostly street and bridge work that their contractors perform, but there is a very common denominator between our agency, between our two agencies, in terms of the contracting community that they engage and the contracting community that we engage. And what we found at that particular outreach event is that there are companies that are, again, currently doing business with the city that would, there, you know, with little help, would definitely be able to do some of the tollway work. And conversely, companies that showed up here that primarily do work with IDOT or the tollway that now are looking at eyeing the city like, well, just, I never knew after the presentation from the city. So there are some natural places, agencies that I think we could partner up with. We are actually part of an effort that is attempting to create a some sort of loose coalition of government agencies at the city, county, and state level to be able to exactly begin addressing some of the issues that you have presented today. How do we work? How do we cooperate?
So I know we've got a lot of ground to cover in this, and I think we've heard some valuable feedback to kind of refresh our looking at the owner-controlled insurance and try to get you some sense of an order of magnitude when it comes to this universe. So maybe we can
move along. Thank you.
So thank you. Very helpful.
Another gap that Tollway faces is that many DB firms remain underutilized. As a way to track outreach efforts by prime bidders and construction contracts, the Tollway will require prime contractors to submit records regarding which subcontractors were contacted for bids and which subcontractors provided estimates to those primes for Tollway bids. This information will be used by the Tollway to ascertain whether or not diverse subcontractors are being contacted about potential Tollway bid opportunities and whether or not those subcontractors submitted a bid.
Does anybody else do that? Do you know?
On the sunshine. I don't think we've necessarily seen that, but I think we felt really actually that this was something that would get right to.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I'm just curious.
Taking us out of the middle. So we didn't necessarily see, you know, I'll ask anybody else to join in, but we didn't necessarily see a model for this provision in particular, but thought it was a good opportunity because I think, you know, on one side we hear from many of our primes that they reach out to a whole bunch of firms, including a lot of DBE firms, and never receive any bids or any interest. And on the other side we hear from the advocacy community, DBE, MBE, WB community, that they never hear from them, or when they do approach them, you know, that they say, we're really not interested in partnering with you. This is a way for us to...
But this may be a serious innovation. Right?
Yes,
experience,
and we can look more closely at this, but I don't think we're necessarily aware of other entities that do this. Are we?
No, not. We're kind of like...
So,
thank you. We'll
blazing phrase here.
So, on to the mentor protege.
So, we also found that many veteran-owned businesses are in need of hands-on assistance in order to participate in tollway projects. So, the tollway will expand the current professional engineering service mentor protege program to include veteran-owned and service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses. In 2014, the Tollway began including veteran goals on both professional service and construction contracts. In order to assist veteran-owned businesses to remain self-sufficient, competitive, and profitable businesses, we believe that a mentor protege program for professional services to help veteran-owned firms may provide meaningful instruction and beneficial resources. Should I move on? Okay. We also have today two issues for which we are seeking board input. First, to further address the need of DMWB firms to receive hands-on instruction, the Tollway is seeking board input on whether to develop a new mentor protege program for construction. Some of the benefits of a mentor protege program for construction are clear. It would help protégés expand capacity and obtain new skills. It would prepare protégé firms to operate as primes eventually on tollway projects. and it would also help build quality business relationships and enhance networking opportunities for both primes and subs. We are interested in the board's opinion. First, should we pursue a mentor project program for construction? And if so, should the mentor project program be tied to a specific contract, or should we create a long-term partnership between mentors and projects that would span over several years and multiple contracts? It's one question that we're probably need to think very seriously about. Should we incentivize mentors to partner with firms that have utilized our technical assistance programs? Next, how should we monitor compliance and ensure that projects are truly receiving additional training and experience from mentors? How do we determine the incentive level for mentors? And how should we measure the success of the program? One last point. Given the long history of mentor-protégé construction programs nationally that have faced significant implementation challenges, we want to ensure that we do not create unnecessary distractions for the Move Illinois program. This is why we would like seeking a broad range of input from all stakeholders, advocacy and government agencies before any kind of mentor project program will be launched, if that's the decision.
So I think this is our way of preparing everyone that this effort, if we were to undertake it, might lag behind implementation of some of these other components, assuming we would move forward on any of it, right? So, but just kind of starting the discussion, I'm sure that a logical question is, what do other agencies do and what have they learned? So you talked about national trends. Do we want to very briefly talk about what other agencies do or what trends we do see, what the issues are, challenges?
Yeah, I think that there is a mixed bag of results and outcomes. And a lot of it, from based on the preliminary research that we've done, it really is tied into the actual design of the program. What are the constraints, what are the requirements, how are you really helping not the properties, obviously, but also the primes to be able to provide that assistance with overly restrictive conditions on the mentor protégé. So all of those kinds of considerations are put in place. We know of programs that have obviously not have a whole lot of success with it, but we also know programs, say, the Missouri, we hear that Missouri has a DOT has a very interesting program that seems to be working very well, and they what they seem to have in place is it's highly structured in that it clearly outlines what the outcomes ought to be on the whenever there is an engagement of a mentor and a protege. There's some clearly outside objectives that, you know, that you're going to help this company obtain pre-qualification in XYZ, you're going to help them obtain bonding, you're going to help them gain some additional revenues, very measurable. So that, on the one hand, they're saying that's part of what makes a program successful. But on the other hand, they're also saying that you have to be careful with over-prescribing how you want them to achieve those goals. The over-prescription of the relationship between a mentor and protege seems to have a history of failure. So we have to balance the two. We would have to look at how to balance those two aspects of a mentor protege program and come up with some design that would really make sense for the TALWAY, given our environment, given our organizational culture, given how we, with our funding, can be more flexible than in some ways other agencies can.
So any guidance on any questions on that?
So just so I understand, so the mentors are, is it a combination of the prime and it would be a TALWAY employee, or would it be the responsibility of the prime to be the mentor to the mentee, I guess?
The responsibility of the mentor to
the prime. Party? I think that the question, I think that the answer is historically it's been the prime contractor, right?
Right.
It's the mentor.
Okay.
A TALWAY employee might have the, you know, monitoring and compliance responsibility, but ultimately the mentor in the programs that we've seen, I think, would be the prime contractor. Maybe that's not right.
Has anyone expressed interest? I mean, is there a history?
Yes. We do. Exactly. We have heard plenty of requests to have strongly consider the implementation of a mentor protege in construction. It appears that there is some evidence that it would definitely help, especially the groups that are most underutilized on some of these capital programs. One thing that perhaps addresses an aspect of your question, Director Batson, is that we would also envision, we have most possibly think about what role would the technical assistance programs play in connection with this mentor project, just kind of like the monitoring function, because they could be potential feeders, actually, of the proteges for these programs. So to the extent that they're feeding that those proteges, they will have some sort of responsibility for keeping track and what's happening with that arrangement overall. So
they
be a combined effort.
They might substitute for a tollway employee being the support monitor, depending on what you get back in terms of the tolls. At the risk of sort of either passing the buck or somehow reducing the importance of these questions, it seems to me your last question might be the right thing for us to endorse, which is, let me speak for myself, I think for you to go out and talk to the contractors and the groups that we're trying to target and come back to us and tell us what's the reaction, what are their ideas when they've experienced this in other jurisdictions, what's happened, or do they know of people in Missouri that they could call and so forth, so we can get a sense of what is what are the recommendations from the various, knowing what our goal is, what are the recommendations from the various players in this game, shot on goal, that we can then take into account as we're formulating, as you're formulating the recommendations to us on this. I get
right.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who objects to this idea of starting to look at this on the construction side?
No.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Next. The tollway is exploring strategies to further increase DMWB participation. To do so, the tollway is considering the development of an approach to create greater diversity within the DVE program to include underutilized DMWB firms. This approach will be based on a review of construction contracts awarded in the past 2 years, a research has shown that out of 140 tollway contracts issued in 2013 and 2014, 60% include the participation of only two DMWB categories, and those are African Americans, Hispanics, women, Asian Americans, and Native Americans. Of the nearly 40% balance of the contracts on that pool, those 40% of contracts with three or more DMWB categories, closer review shows that the number of contracts with meaningful participation by three DVE groups is quite small. So there are only seven on that pool of 40%, seven contracts where DMWB firms exceed 15% participation of the total DVE goal on each of the three categories, and only two contracts where DMWB exceeded 20% participation of the total DVE goal on each of three categories.
So if I could interrupt for just a second, it took me a long time to figure out what this slide is trying to say. Not that it wasn't clear, but I was just having trouble connecting. So what we're really talking about here is how many categories that we want to include in our DMWBE groups are in each of our minority set-asides. So
our goals.
Right.
The goals, or the DBE plan that's submitted.
Right, so when we see that 20% and we look at the list of who are the companies that are in that 20%, what are the categories that those companies fulfill? So maybe everybody else understood that, but I didn't know.
Right, so this kind of gets to that question, right, of, you know, how do we make sure that everybody, to the extent possible, is incentivized to participate in the program and using a broad array of firms and groups. And the reason we included the 15 and 20% numbers here is just so that we could, you know, demonstrate you don't want to create an incentive for activity that's already happening, right? So we wanted to look and make sure that we understood what our current playing field looked like, to keep the sports analogy going. And this is what we came up with. So,
right.
You know, clearly some opportunities.
So clearly there's if that sample of two contracts shows us a trend is that a large chunk of contractors are coming with bids that have less than three
categories,
right? So that's really literally what this is illustrating.
And if there are three categories, they're very small portions.
On the 60%, there are no categories. I mean, there are no three categories. There are only one or two categories.
But even in the ones that have more than two, you still have very small percentage.
Yeah, some groups are really truly underrepresented, even on those that have three categories.
Okay.
So it sort of quantifies what we observed, which is what precipitated this discussion in the first place.
Right.
We're seeking board input on whether the TOWI should develop a strategy to incentivize primes to increase the use of underutilized firms. One option is to provide incentive credits that could be banked and used on future bids to partially satisfy future DV goals up to a cap limit. This credit could be made available to firms that utilize three or more categories of DMWB firms and could also include a floor of minimum requirements for each of the categories to ensure meaningful participation by those firms. This floor or minimum requirement could be reviewed and adjusted over time to ensure that contractors remain incentivized to participate in the program. I could either show you an example, which is coming on the next slide, or I could just go on ahead and articulate some of the questions that will be covered, whichever way the board prefers.
Well, you can see, we can see here what some of these questions are that we would like to get some feedback on. You know, do we think that this might be an effective strategy for us to develop in more detail? Is banking something that we want to explore? You know, I understand you've given a lot of your attention and time this morning, so I don't want to linger, but, you know, this is something that we think could maybe substantively go to the heart of, you know, part of the issue that you've identified previously. So are these questions?
I would be more concerned with the primes if it's the same four, five, six big primes that are doing most of the work. Are they going to be getting more of the bank and have more opportunities because they bank? And even though there's a limit, it seems like the big primes are going to have the advantage of banking because they're the ones that are out there doing the work right now. So how do we bring in more primes against those primes?
So maybe the question that we need to explore in connection with that is there a certain segment of contracts, certain type of contracts that are probably more appropriate for this kind of banking idea as opposed to just a blank approach?
Right.
A blanket approach to all contracts.
That's the question I hear you in.
Good. Maybe we should explore that as a
that's helpful.
Factor.
And some of those smaller contracting opportunities are trying to get at that pipeline question. But okay, so targeting instead of a blanket approach. But it seems like the concept of banking is at least at this stage comfortable for us to explore.
I'd ask the same two questions. Is it done any place else? And how are the people who are that's the answer. And how are the people who are going to be affected by this likely to react to it so we can get a sense of how whether they think it's manageable and workable. And if they don't, what are the obstacles and how can we build a program around it if we decide we want to still go ahead and do it? You look worried.
Okay.
We earn credit for them.
Yeah.
Isn't this really just a spin-off of that to increase? So you already have success there.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the mayor. You need to put a cap so that the type of projects that normally a minority contractor would be large enough yet to be bidding, that's where you want to utilize this. And on those small breakouts, you'd be right. You'd be giving an advantage to the big contractors to pick up.
And if you went ahead with the sunshine provision, this would sort of be a complementary strategy.
Okay. So we've gotten some preliminary feedback from some of the groups, but clearly it's easier to react to something that's a little bit more substantive. So maybe what we can do with this feedback is put together proposed policy circulated and then, you know, put it out for public comment, as we've talked about. I think makes, you know, potentially a good next step, and then we can bring it back to either the full board or a subcommittee of the board once the comments are received, to see if and how we move forward with implementing any portions of this. Does that make sense?
I don't know how you've done this in the past, but there may be a kind of interim step, which is maybe, or maybe you've already done this, not formulate a policy, but have informal discussions with people. Sometimes if you put out a policy,
right,
everybody goes crazy.
We have started to do that,
yeah,
which is why I think we've heard from some folks here that they're supportive of,
yeah,
of the effort. So those conversations have happened, but we can continue those and then, you know,
okay,
put
we'll
them
make
together.
Yep,
absolutely.
Sure. The next one is just a sample of the concept that we're discussing now.
Yep.
So if it's okay, I'll just pass it and go to the last, to the next. So I would once again like to thank the Tollway Board of Directors for their leadership, to Christy, and support, as well as recognize the strong partnerships with internal and outside stakeholder groups and assist agencies that have all held the Tollway implement a number of initiatives since 2012. All of these have worked together to increase the level of awareness, interest, and pursuit of Tollway bid opportunities by DMWB firms. We remain truly committed to developing new initiatives that build upon our initial success in order to further increase participation by diverse firms. Some challenges remain, including striking the right balance between requirements for participation and creating programs that are too onerous for contractors, growing a depth of bench for diverse prime and subcontractors, and attracting more up-and-coming firms to concentrate on Tollway projects. We look forward to further discussions about these initiatives, and I really thank you for your time today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I just make one last comment? Just looking at your last slide there, I do also appreciate the board's interest in this area. I appreciate Christy and your team and your leadership and Gustavo's work in this area. And I think you've identified the right issues, and I echo what's already been said about some of the further complications, whether it's insurance and bonding and some of the IDOT restrictions. But I'll just say it's a complex problem. And just looking at your timeline here, I think you all have made significant progress. It took a long time to get here, and it will take it a long time to get out. And so I just say give yourself time. It takes time, and you're in the right area to give those programs an opportunity to work. So,
good. Thank you.
You don't know that our middle name is impatient.
Certainly mine is. I think there are a lot of people in my life who would get to that place.
Just if I
so thank
may
beg
you.
Yep, yes. Absolutely.
I just had a question. You certainly spent some time working on this topic, and I think probably the TOLLWAY is probably one of the most comprehensive programs I can imagine in this area. And in the final analysis, we end up, hiring minority-owned firms, and so the ownership of those firms benefits. I think a lot of people make what they think is a logical jump and think that that, in turn, creates a lot of jobs for minorities, but I haven't necessarily seen that to be the case. And so I see that, from my perspective, as perhaps an even more worthy cause, in the sense that we're providing work for a larger group of people that allows them to put food on the table and to be employed gainfully, and in a skilled manner as well. And so, I see that as a goal that's worthy in and of itself. So I'm wondering, is it feasible, number one, to kind of monitor? Do we have any understanding,
sure,
by virtue of the contracts we award, how many minority workers end up on the job? Because they may or may not, from what I've seen, in generally speaking. And then secondly, are there ways to incentivize those types of activities? Are there ways to work with companies and unions to try to enhance the number or enlarge the number of minorities that are involved in the field, et cetera? And where does that stand, and what is the potential there?
So obviously, because we wanted to concentrate today just on construction, Christy, you probably want to say something first?
No, I just I was going to say that I think that it's a very good question. I mean, we have taken on some initiatives with the credit program, as mentioned, particularly on the 294-57 project. You know, we did some enhanced work to try to diversify the workforce there. Gustavo and his team did a great job in trying to think creatively. You know, it might be worth it to just set up either, you know, a time to come back to the board and talk about this workforce diversity kind of in the same way, what we've done, what the outcomes have been, and then ultimately, you know, what some additional proposals would be to maybe make additional enhancements in that area. You know, I think probably you see similar trends as, you know, we've seen in this walk of life, that when it comes to diversity, gender diversity, racial diversity, there have been gains and there's room for more improvement. So maybe, Gustavo, in your abundance of free time, you and your staff,
we're happy to put something together.
We can take that into consideration, because it's a very good question and probably time for a refresh of what we do in that area as well, given our lessons learned.
Well, I would say while you're looking at that, a useful tool that I got was initiated a couple of years ago with the Urban League. The program to help pre-apprentices get their feet underneath them, especially African Americans, where the greatest need is right now, on the minority side.
The T-CART program, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's over.
Yeah, and we were partnering with them on that, so we did.
I don't know if we can pick that up ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I know the participating apprenticeship programs thought that was a very useful. I can tell you, we have a list now of apprentices, and nearly a third of the applications are minorities. Now we just need the contractors to call them out.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to talk about as well.
Okay.
Good. Well, let's have that issue come back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice job.
I would be remiss if I didn't specifically pointed out some people around this table. Paul Kovacs. You've been an incredible partner to us. Without your help, I wouldn't be where I am in terms of our progress diversity initiatives. Wendy Abrams, communication has been a key factor on our success. Mr. Donato, thank you so much for your help. Every time I have a problem related to procurement, I know I can count on your brain to do it, and you're always available. Mr. Kosh, making that money available for initiatives. Thank you so much. And again, thank you to the board for the support. And please.
Always wise to thank the budget guy. You're going to wait for less. So, right. To that, So, thank you very much. And Gustavo, nice job to you and to your team. I know Marlene and Stephanie and others, a lot of people helped with this, as well as folks from engineering, PMO. So, thank you. Last but certainly not least on our long presentation agenda is the Inspector General's report. As you may recall, for the statute, the Inspector General two times per year, our tollway Inspector General, provides a public report on the officer's activities. This is, Jim's presentation today, I think, are continuing good examples of how we work collaboratively with his office to swiftly try to respond to, you know, issues that arise and swiftly refer things to his office that are in their purview. So we appreciate the breadth and depth of those investigations and certainly value Jim's insight into improving our operations to make sure that we are the tollway and all of our customers are protected from any kind of abuse. So we want to thank you and your team for your work and go ahead with your overview.
Thank you, Christy. Chair Wolf, directors, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very brief report today. Even though it covered the last 6 months, I've got only two cases I want to tell you about. The first was brought to us by the business systems director because of a customer service representative who had been evidently stealing some of the funds that were to go to the tollway. The customer service reps are stationed at the Oasis as well as here at headquarters, and they do have the capability of lowering fines for violations within parameters that are set They are to check back with the management here at the headquarters for whatever level that will be. Once we got the information from the business systems director, we talked to this individual and discovered that while he was satisfying the request of customers to give them a payout lower than what they thought it would be, it still wasn't as low as he had been advised by headquarters. So the difference then was pocketed by that individual, and it amounted to approximately $10,000. He has agreed to repay that amount of money, and as I understand, at this point has repaid about half of that amount. He did resign his position. Based upon the information that we gathered when we were looking into this matter, our initial recommendation was to stop the CSRs from accepting cash, so it would eliminate this possibility. However, Tollway Management correctly advised that would put a undue burden both on the business systems of the tollway as well as the customers, who not all would be able to utilize a credit card or debit card, as well as we had recommended that they only be able to take care of these issues here at headquarters, where there's a lot more oversight, and that would have required a long journey for some of the customers. But what the management, tollway management, did agree was additional signage regarding getting receipts and additional cameras in order to monitor those locations out at the oases. And I understand that the new computer system that is being installed at some point will provide more coverage as far as this activity, and an audit trail will be more able to be called up. The second case I wanted to bring to your attention was...
I'm sorry. And you're comfortable with management's response?
Yes. I understand fully the problems that just eliminating cash acceptance would cause, and I think that certainly additional cameras at those locations, because we took a look at where they're currently located and it's not sufficient coverage, and that'll help tremendously. And then the new business system, computer system, will also then provide additional coverage to do an audit trail of what activity has taken place.
Okay, thanks.
So I think everything has been addressed in that situation. The second investigation involved the Criminal Background Review Committee, the CBRC, which was formulated to review the criminal record of an applicant who is being considered for a position at the tollway. That only comes into play once a person is being considered for employment. Then they take a look at the criminal background. And again, I would stress that we're only talking about felony convictions, not arrests, not misdemeanors, things of that nature. We made some recommendations after we took a look at the activities of the CBRC, because when we talked to some of the participants of the committee, which was made up of representatives from the departments, it was clear from what they advised that they weren't sure what they were looking at when they got the record. And while the records are not in a foreign language, they are not easy to decipher unless you've got some background in criminal activity. And so, first of all, we recommended that they always have at least three people on the committee. Tollway Management agreed with that. We recommended that those people get additional training with regard to interpreting a criminal record. And they, Tollway Management agreed And I guess the Illinois State Police has a course that they can take, which will provide that type of background training, and that's good. And as far as the due diligence that would be conducted when a conviction is noted, currently there is an interview process in person. We recommended that that be changed to a written format so that there's no chance of emotions to come into play. With any conviction, you're all aware, there are methods to appeal and methods to take care of changing a conviction if it is appropriate. We found in looking at a few of the cases, the people who were interviewed were less than candid in explaining what happened and less than truthful in the explanation. And so you get the emotions that come into play where it should be based upon the facts of the case and not how it can be spun. The question as to whether or not a written report would be used rather than personal interview is still being researched by the legal department here at the tollway. The management, tollway management, did also agree that they would rely on the Illinois State Police reports for background information as far as the Illinois State Police records and FBI records. The rest of the recommendations, I think, were agreed upon as far as the changing of the policies and procedures and making sure that everybody was clear on the procedure that was to be utilized. I would then just point out that although I'm only talking to you about two cases, during this six-month period, the office handled a total of 241 different matters. And I look back, and last year for the same period of time, we handled 236. So it's running pretty consistent as far as what we what we're working on. A lot of our cases, as you know, do not ever reach public discussion for various reasons. And I'll just leave it at that. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to further explain.
No questions. As I mentioned earlier, we did have the executive session, so I think the board is satisfied. Thank you very much. Christy, did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. So I will give my usual caveat, which is that as people are clear from the reports at the beginning, these items on the consent agenda, with the exception of a couple, have all been reviewed by the committee, and so we'll go through them what seems like very quickly, but they have been viewed. And a miracle has occurred. After many years of my doing this fly-by-night thing, Christy Regnery has put on the top of my agenda how many I can call in which order. So I may actually get this right today. We'll see if I can read and do it, but I appreciate that innovation I didn't know about until I looked at it today. So we'll start with finance. We have a recusal for Director Reddick on this. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have the recusal of Director Reddick, so number one is passed. On procurement, we have items 1 through 6 that we can do together, unless there are any questions on those. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? I see no recusals or abstentions. On engineering, items 4 and 11 are not on the consent agenda, so I think we can do numbers 1 and 2 together, and then we have some recusals. So 1
Chair?
And 2?
I think that's a mistake. It's 4 and 20.
4 and 20, I'm sorry. Well, you see, miracles don't always prove to be 100% miraculous. So let's do items 1 and 2 together.
So we'll move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any recusals or abstentions? Item 3 alone, because there's a recusal for Director Sweeney.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? We have Director Sweeney's recusal. Any extensions? Item 4 we'll do alone. This is one that we need to hear about.
I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Item 4, it's a construction contract award that engineering is recommending. It's for cleaning and televising drainage structures along the South Tri-State Tollway from I-394 to 159th Street. We received two bids on this contract. Award is recommended to National Power Routing Corporation, who is a low bidder at $2,901,740. They've committed to meeting our DD goal. It wasn't ready at committee because we were evaluating a waiver request on the veterans goal, which our diversity has now evaluated and has recommended granting them a waiver.
Two questions. The bid, we're so far apart. Any thoughts on that? And then your engineer's estimates basically came in under engineer's estimates, too.
So I'm not sure why the other bidder was so high. Obviously, the engineer's estimate was more aligned with the bid. We were happy it came in under us. I think it is 13% under us, and in general, you know, all the engineers' estimates, I think, that we presented from 2010 until now, averaged about 9% under. So it's not totally out of range, and we think it's awardable.
Can I just ask, if I'm reading this right, it's approximately $3 million for cleaning for a linear distance of about 6.5 miles, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And how often do these take place on average?
I'll have to check on that. I want to say probably like on a 5-year basis, but I can get back to you on that.
Okay.
This is the first time we're actually doing this type of cleaning. We haven't done that. It's a preventative maintenance. We started on 355, did a few contracts there. The whole idea is to see what the enclosed drainage system looks like. So in case there's a puncture that happens, sometimes you get a like full foundation or something that goes through the pipes, we can see actually what's going on with the drainage that's enclosed in preparation for future projects that come along.
So we're doing this to kind of...
This is the first time. We're also
take a look at it to find out what the implications are going forward.
Right, and we imagine based on what we find with the televising, if we see problems, then it may be something we go back and focus on those specific areas. If we don't see anything, it may be something we may go 10 years before we go and look at it again. It just kind of depends on how the drainage looks or any problems that arise.
Okay, I was just interested, given the number of miles on the system and the cost for 6.5 miles. What the implication of that was.
You're speaking on behalf of AECOM. I just want to make sure people know.
That's right. Right? Yes.
Okay.
That's so Bridget Malinowski. She represents our consulting engineer.
Yeah, I just want to make sure this wasn't the person who got the contract who's answering.
You have an honest face. Well, they would also take care of silt buildup as well, though, in this.
When they televise it, they actually have to clean it in order to televise it. So
this is more than just televising.
Yes.
Will that televise be taped? Do we have a record of it?
Yes.
Or the record to be filed then for future reference, and then the refuse, the silt, and everything. That this bid includes the removal of all that waste and disposal of.
Yes.
Okay. Then I think what I'll do is take a motion, and I can take 4, 5, 6, and 7 together then?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals, no abstentions. 8 alone is a recusal for Director Sweeney. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay. So then we can take 9 through 14 together. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No extensions or recusals. Number 15 will take a loan because the Director Sweeney also has a recusal here.
Number?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals? We have one abstention. I mean, and one recusal and no extensions. We can take 16, 17, 18, and 19 together.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals, no extensions. And 20, we are going to defer to executive session. Is that right? Okay. And then we have legal. Let's see if I've got a miracle here. Yes. So So these have also been reviewed. Legal item number one, there is one with legal, Director Wagner. So may I hear a motion, please?
I move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? We have one recusal, Director Reisner, and no abstentions. On legal items, we continue to look at 2 through 10 together.
2 okay. through 6, Chair.
6, I'm sorry. This your discussion optional. And for the, no, you want to do 6. 1 through 6?
2 through 6.
2 through 6. 2 through 6.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals, no abstentions? Okay, we'll pick it up with... so, Hen?
8 or
7? Oh, 10, the administrative rules.
7,
8, and 9, we want to discuss
correct.
The executive session.
And you can do 10.
Right. So, 10, which is the speed limit, which we had.
You can do that now if you want.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sorry, David?
Item 10?
Item 10.
You're free to move to it if you'd like. Sure.
Okay. I don't know. Did you want to make any presentation, David, since it's on your list?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I think that's just by practice, but
okay.
Mr. Benda had the lead.
So we've had the presentation. We had questions and answers. We didn't have any big discussion, so I don't want to foreclose any discussion, although it is getting to the 12 o'clock, and everybody's been sitting very patiently. However, if there is something that people need further information on or want to discuss, please, let's do it now. Nothing. Okay, so everybody understands the process from here. This is a vote that the board would take, and then the next step is to go to IDOT, and then the step after that is to go to JCAR. If we get approval from IDOT, we don't get approval from IDOT, we'll worry about that. Do you have any sense of timing on that, just
I don't, but I know that we were anticipating that if all went well, we'd get the new signs up in
July. Oh, so we're working backward against success. Okay. So we'll see what happens. So
don't we always?
Well, that's what the customers will see. Something in July.
Okay. So do I hear a motion on this?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Nay.
We'll report to Director Wiseman. Okay. Any abstentions? Any recusals? Director Wiseman, did you want to say anything for the record? I don't have to, but...
Well, I was not able to attend the customer service meeting. Perhaps I'd be more enlightened if I had, but my experience and observation and some of the materials provided give me pause on this issue. I think what I see, what I see right now under the current system is that people are regularly breaking the law without consequence by exceeding the speed limit significantly. I don't think that will change by moving the speed limit up to 60. And I just have some qualms about all of that.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. I think what we can do then is take a motion to go into executive session, after which we'll take a break. So
if you have that motion be pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically Section 2C1 to discuss specific personnel matters and the appointment of legal counsel, 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining for the tollway, 2C5 to discuss the acquisition of real property, and 2C11 to discuss litigation involving the tollway.
Okay, may I hear the motion for that?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?